Discovering Christ in Revelation, Chapter 40, Christ Destroys Babylon. A reading from the book of Revelation, Chapter 18, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Satan has always opposed the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning, his heart was lifted up with pride against the Son of God. He inspired, organized, and led a rebellion among the angels of heaven, attempting to overthrow God's throne, frustrate his purposes, destroy his works, and prevent the triune God from executing and fulfilling his eternal covenant of grace. Though his revolt was totally unsuccessful, he did not even shake God's throne, much less overturn it. Yet the old serpent has never ceased to oppose the purpose of God. He knows he has only a short time before Christ casts him into the pit forever. Yet he continues his rebellion. He continues to inspire, organize, and lead men and women in rebellion against the God of heaven. And his primary means of opposition to Christ is organized false religion. That religious system, inspired, organized, and led by Satan, the religion of Antichrist, is portrayed as a great harlot, patronized by the whole world, and as a great city of worldwide influence and wealth. The name of that harlot and that city is Babylon. Babylon represents the world, especially the religious world, in opposition to Christ. The religions of the world have many names, but their essential tenets are always the same. The religion of the world, the religion of Antichrist, the religion of Babylon, is the religion of free will and salvation by works. The religion of Babylon, the hell-inspired religion of Antichrist, by which the souls of deceived multitudes are destroyed, always proclaims that salvation is ultimately decided and determined by man. Free will, works religion, is a satanic invention and is damning the souls of men. Both the preachers and the adherents of such religion, like Nimrod, are rebels against God, utterly lost, without knowledge of the living God. And, like Nimrod, they shall all perish under the wrath of God. This religion is popular. Men love it, support it, promote it, and defend it. It has always been the religion of the world. It is wealthy. The world's most famous, most well-respected religious leaders are the servants of this great whore. And the religion of Babylon so thoroughly controls the minds of men that it controls the political, economic, academic, and philosophical powers of the world. The whole world, by the deception of Satan, cherishes free will, man-centered Babylonian religion. But thank God, the religion of Babylon, all opposition to the Church of Christ, the truth of Christ, and the glory of Christ, will one day be destroyed. And that is the subject of Revelation chapter 18. An announcement and admonition and a warning, beginning at verses 1 through 8. A great mighty angel came down from heaven whose glory lightened the earth. These mighty spirits who were created by God to be ministering spirits to those chosen and ordained of God to be the heirs of salvation are also the instruments by which God executes his judgment upon his enemies. These holy beings who, by divine direction, have protected God's church from their enemies in every age, will destroy our enemies in the end. So sure and certain is God's judgment upon Babylon that it is recorded as a past event. Notice how the angel describes Babylon. It is not a literal city, but a religious system that encompasses and includes everything opposed to God. It is the habitation of devils. the home of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hated bird. Babylon is the idolatrous religion of the world. The gods of Babylon are the dung gods of free will and salvation by works. The dung of Babylon's religious solemnities has smeared and defiled the whole earth. Had it not been for the Lord's free, preserving grace, we would all have been swallowed up in Babylon. But God would not allow us to have our way. Yet, even Babylon serves the purposes of God, though the heresies of false religion are hatched in hell and set in opposition to the throne of God. They are under the rule of God and serve only to accomplish His purpose of grace toward His elect. By the spreading fame and popularity of free will religion, God's elect are proved. Though all the world goes after Babylon, God's own will not fall for her lies. When Babylon has served her purpose, she will be brought to utter destruction. By what means God will publicly destroy false religion, we're not told, but these things are plainly revealed. Babylon will fall suddenly. Her destruction will come from within. And God's judgment upon Babylon is just and well deserved. When the world's religious system is destroyed, the whole earth will be thrown into chaos and confusion because it is the religion of the world that governs the economics, philosophy, and politics of the world. When Babylon falls, everything falls. Looking at verse 4, an admonition from the mouth of Christ Himself. This is a call which the Lord our God repeatedly issues to His church in all ages. It is an urgent call to separation. Come out of her, my people. See Isaiah 48, verse 20. The Lord does not say, stay in Babylon and heal her. He does not say, find a way to get along with Babylon. He does not say, love Babylon, pray for Babylon, and try to help Babylon. God says, come out of her, my people. And all of God's people will deliberately come out of Babylon. To remain a part of any church or denomination that denies the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ is to line up with the Lord's enemies and court eternal damnation. To come out of her is to have no fellowship with her, give no support to her, offer no hope to her, and publicly repudiate her doctrines and practices by identifying with Christ, His gospel, and His church. In verses 5 through 8, a solemn warning is given to those who set themselves against Christ, His church, and the gospel of His grace. The God of heaven is a God who can, must, and will punish sin. Here, the Lord Himself tells us five things about divine judgment. 1. God remembers all the iniquities of His enemies. He has forgotten the sins of His people because they are thoroughly removed by the blood of Christ. But He will never forget any iniquity of His enemies. 2. God will punish sinners exactly in proportion to the evil they have done, according to the strict justice. There are no degrees of reward in heaven, but there are degrees of punishment. And the hottest fires of hell's lowest pit are reserved for those who despise the free grace of God and trample underfoot the precious blood of Christ revealed in the gospel. 3. Divine judgment comes suddenly, swiftly, without warning. 4. It is thorough, complete, without mercy. And 5. God is both willing and able to punish sin. The kings of the earth, the merchant men of the earth, and the seamen of the earth, when they see Babylon fall by the hand of God, will all wail because of her fall. The kings, the mighty men of power and influence in the earth, have lain in the bed of this great harlot for so long that they have come to love her and depend upon her. By yielding to her influence, honoring her name and defending her. They have made themselves rich and powerful. Slick politicians of all parties have always used religion to promote themselves. But when these mighty men see their whole religious foundation in ruins, they wail for her. These merchants represent something more than businessmen. They represent all men and women who set their hearts on the wares and luxuries of this world. When everything they cherish crumbles before them or becomes worthless in their eyes, they wail in agony. Without question, there is a direct reference here to false prophets, preachers, who for the covetousness make merchandise of men's bodies and souls, bringing them into slavery of the world's religion to enrich themselves. Like the kings and merchants, the seamen have spent their lives seeking the wealth, power, luxury, and pleasure of the world. But when God brings everything to ruins, when men see all their hopes and desires utterly destroyed, they weep like babies in torment with broken hearts. The destruction of Babylon is the destruction of the world, its religious, economic, political, and philosophical foundations. When the unbeliever sees everything he has lived for, worked for, and trusted in completely destroyed, he is utterly devastated. Let all be warned, do not lay up treasures on earth. The fashion, the outward appearance, the glamour of this world are all perishing. Make provision for your immortal soul. Babylon's fall and the world's destruction are God's just retribution poured out upon those who have despised and persecuted His elect throughout history. Therefore, all of God's elect are called upon to rejoice over her. This passage teaches us three things about the final destruction of Babylon, referring to verses 20 through 24, and then beyond, beginning with verse 21, it will be total, climactic, and irreversible. A mighty angel appears to execute God's judgment upon Babylon. He picks up a huge millstone. With one mighty, angry thrust, he hurls it into the sea and says, "This is what will become of Babylon. It will be hurled into the sea of God's wrath forever, never to be retrieved." This wicked world, particularly this religious world system with its leaders and its followers as the center of seduction, will perish forever. Notice the symbolism that is used to express through destruction. All false religious comfort and hope Babylon will have gone. All joy symbolized by music will have gone. All skill, art, talent, craftsmanship, and self-satisfaction will have gone. All food symbolized by the mill will have gone. All light will have gone. All relationships of love and unity will have gone. Babylon's merchants are the men received and made great by the earth, both worldly and religious leaders. By her sorceries, the world has been deceived. Babylon, primarily false religion, has upon her hands the blood of all God's saints and prophets. But why are God's saints called upon to rejoice when the wicked are damned? This joy is not at all a vindictive joy over the torments of personal enemies. It is a righteous agreement with God. It is God's saints taking sides with God, vindicating Him in His justice and saying, "Amen," to all that He does because of their heart's agreement with Him. God's saints will rejoice when God's enemies are destroyed, because God's name and honor will then be vindicated.